frequency to the electrical and or geophysical state of the Earth will be driven down the tower into the ground and out to 16 300-foot-long iron spokes positioned in a spiral down the entire length of the 120-foot well. Thereby gripping the Earth, this pulse would generate an electronic disturbance in a harmonic relationship with the naturally occurring geomagnetic pulse that would reach the other side of the globe and in turn would bounce back up the tower. By controlling the period of frequency, this pulse could be modulated and actually increased in intensity in the same way one can make a well-made bell resound in increasing loudness by tapping it at precisely timed faster and faster rates. Also, the energy will be stored at the top of the tower and in specially built condensers by the laboratory. Stationary waves in resonance with known earth currents would thereby be established. Like a vibrating spring with a weight on it, this device enabled Tesla to determine and manipulate the electrostatic capacity, in analogy like the pliability of the spring, and the inductance, analogous to the weight on the spring, of the carrier vibrations. Tesla also maintained that the use of liquefied air, negative 197 degrees Fahrenheit, would greatly augment the production and or reception of very high frequencies, while also reducing impedance caused by friction or heat. By transforming energy to higher frequencies on the rebound flow, Tesla increased the efficiency of his towers. Each could act as both a sender and receiver. One tower, situated near a waterfall, could jump energy to another tower, situated at another point on the globe. Just as electricity is available throughout the electrical circuits that run through the transmission lines that circumscribe our planet, electricity would also be available throughout the entire electromagnetic grid of the Earth itself. In the same way electricity is not utilized by conventional means until a plug is placed in a socket and a switch turned on, electricity would also not be utilized in the Tesla system until it too was connected up to a wireless instrument and that instrument was turned on. Electricity by the Tesla system would not be wasted by being diffused, no more so than electricity is wasted by present means, such as with wireless car telephones or by being made available through transformers and high-tension wires that run from transmission pole to transmission pole. It appears that the tower could at this point serve in a variety of ways. For instance, intelligible signals, wireless telephone, could be transmitted to any region of the globe. Power also could be provided by the same mechanism, probably within a confined region of each tower, to thousands of specific machines after they sent a coded request impulse, or simply to another tower not located by a power source. And this second tower, situated in a remote area, could be connected to home appliances and telephones by way of conventional wires or by wireless. If two transmitters were utilized and separated by many miles, vector waves could more easily place impulses in desired locations. A power source, such as coal or water, would generate energy into a transformer, comprising both a secondary, tuned to the wavelength of light, and primary coil. The secondary coil in the transmitting tower would be the inside thinner one, which is longer and has more turns. The generated frequency would be lowered when induced into the thicker primary, which has fewer turns and is shorter. The transmitter would then pump the energy into the natural medium, broadcasting it via earth or air, i.e., two different ways. According to Tesla, at the receiving station, a transformer of similar construction is employed, but in this case, the longer coil, of many turns, constitutes the primary, and the shorter coil, of fewer turns, the secondary. It is to be noted that the phenomenon here involved in the transmission of electrical energy is one of true conduction, and not to be confounded with the phenomena of electrical radiation. An additional criticism. E. Kornhauser, a professor of electrical engineering at Brown University, in reviewing this section, is doubtful that this form of power transmission could be effectively achieved because the Earth is not an efficient conductor, e.g., as compared to a copper wire. Concerning the possibility of creating wireless communication that could circumscribe the planet, Kornhauser conceded it was possible. He stated that the Navy had unsuccessfully tried to institute a world radar system utilizing extremely low frequencies. Project Seafarer, as it was named, purportedly could have set up communication even with submarines deep underwater at any point of the globe. However, the plan was scrapped, it appears mainly because of the potential to markedly disturb existing radio and television frequencies, and fear of damage to the environment. The efficiency of Tesla's radio receiving tubes was also questioned by Kornhauser, who thought it was doubtful that they would have been efficient enough, as it would take another 15 years before radio tubes of any merit came into being. Kornhauser did say, however, that the modern AM radio broadcasting stations use the Earth as their primary means of transmitting their impulses. FM and television also use the Earth, but the atmosphere, in these instances, is the more important medium for impulse transmission. Appendix B. The Tunguska Incident. A question often asked is whether Tesla had anything to do with the massive explosion which occurred in Tunguska, Siberia, in June of 1908. As no meteor or crater was found, a rumor stemming from Andrea Puharich, picked up by Tad Wise in his Tesla novel, suggested that Tesla used Wardenclyffe to deliver the charge. Since the tower became disoperational in 1903, I saw no reason to include the incident in the first edition of Wizard. However, because the story was repeated on TV, rumors have persisted. Roy Gallant estimates in his book, The Day the Sky Split Apart, that the Tunguska explosion devastated a 40-square-mile area and released energy 2,000 times greater than the atom bomb dropped on Hiroshima. Tesla expert James Corum allowed that if Tesla had the capability of releasing just 1% of the Earth's magnetic charge, in theory, he could have produced comparable results. However, both Corum and the author are in agreement that Tesla not only didn't do this, but further, Wardenclyffe simply had nowhere near that kind of capability. As Gallant suggests, the Tunguska explosion was probably caused by a comet or asteroid which barely missed the Earth by skipping along its atmosphere 2 or 3 miles above the site. This concludes Wizard. Please visit our website, www.tantor.com, for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks and to take advantage of special offers, or call toll-free 877-7-TANTOR to request a catalog.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.